Matt Dillmore, along with
Matt Alsberg.
Matt, we are down in lovely San Pedro, California, but not just hanging out. We're here with a mission.
We are here at the Angels Gate High Railers Railroad Club Clubhouse / Train Depot / Train World.
We're joined graciously by Jeff Waldman and Matt Jackson from the Angels Gate High Railers. And gentlemen, thank you so much for opening your doors and your tracks for us. Can you tell us just a little bit about the club in general? How did it start, and what is the modern incarnation of the High Railers? What does it look like?
Well, it started out back in the mid-90s. There was a group from the Van Nuys chapter of Tin Plate Trackers, which was a modular club that dealt with Lion-L O-gauge trains. And we were about to lose our meeting hall, and several members decided that it would be worthwhile to come down to San Pedro and build a permanent layout. And we joined up with some other people from the area, John Pignatelli, Lowell Jeans, Ramon Garcia, and we founded the Angels Gate High Railers Project. Now, we call ourselves Angels Gate High Railers because high rail is a term that's given to toy trains in a scale environment. So while we run on three-rail track, and your classic Lion-L post-war trains could run on this layout, the scenery and everything else is designed as an O-scale layout. One of the more famous ones in Southern California was Citrus Empire, which was a true O-scale layout, and we kind of followed those cues by using scale buildings, scale bridges, things like that, and scale scenery. And so we've worked for years on this. You know, now it's 2009, so we've been here almost 14 years. And it's been a labor of love. You know, we've run short of money on several times, and we've managed to build things a bit at a time. So
what's the typical high railer for our listeners? Is there a typical high railer? People from all walks of life, ages?
Typical high railer is a baby boomer who was probably born in the late 40s, 50s, or early 60s, who now has disposable income and is able to really get into the hobby like they never were able to when they were younger. I remember when I was younger, my love affair started in 1958 when my mother bought me my first train at age 6, and from that point on, it has never stopped. I would go to bed with the Lion-L catalog in my hand, just dreaming someday of what it would be like to own all these trains. And now today, thank goodness, that has become a reality for me. And nice part is this truly is a clubhouse where all of us get together. We share one common interest, and that is model trains.
That's actually one thing I kind of noticed, and we were talking about. It seems like a lot of times when you look at model training and sort of you see model trains in film and in stores, that there's almost a hearkening back to like an Americana of the 50s and 60s, sort of post-World War II, that a lot of the model train sort of ethos is wrapped up in that. And do you think that sort of holds true? And
That tends to hold true, although a lot of us also run modern equipment. Actually, I did bring some today. And we've kind of designed the layout to be almost time neutral, because if you go to certain parts of the country, you'll find that the layout, actually, terrain has not really changed very much. For example, I live in San Bernardino, and a lot of it is still like vintage Route 66 from the 50s. And, you know, right across the road from some of these places are brand new shopping malls and things like that. And so we've kind of tried to follow the same kind of effect. And a lot of people don't realize is that most of the railroad lines that run into Southern California from back east are well over 100 years old. So we can, you know, run modern equipment in here, and it looks just as much at home as vintage equipment.
What for me, I always kind of equate trains going around the Christmas tree during the holiday season. Do you guys experience kind of a boom in interest in model railroading during this time?
Yeah, it's very much so, because Christmas started way back. Christmas started a long time ago, but model trains and Christmas trees were associated with each other by the genius of one Lion-L Joshua Cowan, who started Lion-L Trains back in 1900, and the company, believe it or not, is still around 109 years later. And he just was a marketing genius and kept showing trains around Christmas time. And many of the stores, the department stores in the 50s and 60s, all of them had tremendous layouts. And it's today associated, still associated with Christmas. All of us here at the club, though, it's a year-round hobby for which it's our escape from the rigors of everyday life, where we can kind of control our own world, have a lot of fun, and just basically be kids again.
It's also interesting, you mentioned about Lionel being close to 110 years strong as a company. Talk to me a little bit, because this is obviously a music-driven show to a certain extent, about Neil Young stepping in. Maybe not a lot of people know about the musician Neil Young's involvement in model railroading in general.
Yes, Neil Young has been involved in it for a long time. In fact, he's responsible for a lot of the technology that is in modern Lionel trains. He developed the Train Master Command Control System and helped improve the rail sounds sound systems for Lionel products. And I'm not sure if he is a part owner of the company now or not.
Still a small partner, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he did a lot, actually, to influence the evolution of trains because, you know, it used to be that the only sound you got was either through your own imagination or from some of the early sound systems, like the diesel horns were actually bicycle horns that ran on a 1.5-volt battery. And they did invent an air whistle, which actually has a pretty good sound. But that was the extent of the sound you got in your trains. And rail sounds changed all that with digital recording of prototype locomotives. Competitors came out with competing sound systems. QSI came out with a sound system that was in most of the non-Lionel three-rail trains. And MTH developed their own command control system and sound also. And they all worked together in the same system. In fact, case in point, the engines that Jeff and I are running right now are running the MTH command control system, but there's some other trains in the layout now because I think a couple of other members have showed up, and those are running on the Lionel TMCC command control system. So both systems are compatible with each other and don't fight each other, and we're able to run several trains on the layout at the same time.
Now, one thing I noticed as we watched you guys, well, I watched you, Matt, set up your train, and I saw some of the trains running. Now, is there sometimes a personality to a train that, like, do certain members, somebody wants to run maybe a more sleek, you know, like a high-speed passenger train, and some guy wants to run, I'm more of a blue-collar, I run, like, a nice cargo train.
Yeah, is there kind of like a, kind of the steely, stealthy high railer, and then the kind of more brash, pomp and circumstance Walt Frazier kind of persona?
Matt Jackson is definitely a prototypical high railer, and will definitely criticize anyone who doesn't conform to those standards. I myself kind of like to run toy trains where I don't care. I'll run Disney trains. I'll run anything that has a motor and pulls cars. But don't bring that in front of Matt Jackson because you'll open yourself up to major criticism.
Let's give Matt a chance to respond. Let's give Matt the chance to respond.
Oh, wait a minute. I resemble that remark. No, actually, I like to kid Jeff about that. Most of the trains I tend to run, I tend to like scale-sized equipment. And I tend to try to follow prototype practice. But, you know, I have to laugh about it because I tell people all the time, I said, hey, guys, if we were that serious, would we be running on three rails? You know? So I tend to follow the prototype roads as best I can because it's, you know, it's kind of a hobby. But I do have Lionel trains. You know, I have a Polar Express set at home. I've run it when we've done the thing at Pershing Square. I've run it down here a couple of times. I even have a Lionel service station set that I got as a Christmas gift about 10 years ago. And I also run that one here. So I do also play with toy trains, contrary to what Jeff might say.
And I think we can all agree, don't bring that maglev stuff in here. None of that maglev stuff.
If it's a monorail, it doesn't belong here.
No Japanese bullet train in this clubhouse.
I'd love to see somebody make a maglev train. The latest development that Lionel has put out, which was about a year or two ago, was an Acela train, which actually had the doors opening and closing. But probably one of the most interesting things that we've seen over the years, many years back when Lionel was competing with American Flyer, either you were a Lionel guy or American Flyer guy. Today you're either a Lionel guy or an MTH guy, and there have been some heated arguments on computer forums on those two, but we love them all. We just run all. We run all the systems, and if it's a toy train, we just run it and have fun.
There's also a lot of interest from certain celebrities. We also mentioned, of course, Neil Young, but it's not just completely a common folk kind of a thing. Even the upper crust celebrities get involved. I was wondering if there's a way to maybe call out some names, some train enthusiast names.
Not recently, but Frank Sinatra was a major train fan who had a layout in Palm Springs. The late Tom Snyder, Mandy Patinkin. In fact, those two had a tremendous spot on Tom's late night show quite a few years ago, talking nothing but Lionel trains. Gary Coleman. Who else, Matt, that you can think of?
President Nixon.
Yeah, President Nixon. Was a train buff. In fact, they have a display every year at the Richard Nixon Library. In fact, that's going on. I think that's going on right now.
Yes, that's correct.
Cary Grant, I think, was the train.
Cary Grant, yes.
Train fan. And you mentioned Gary Coleman. Michael Gross from Family Ties. He is a big promoter of the hobby.
Is it weird sometimes when you know, suddenly you're on, say, a message board or something like that, and you see Gary Coleman chiming in or Neil Young chiming?
Neil Young has, he signs on as NY, and it's really interesting because he takes an active interest in the hobby, and he is so dedicated because one of the things that people may not realize when Neil developed the system, Neil has, I think, one or two cerebral palsy kids who have cerebral palsy. And he wanted to make sure that they knew how to do all the actions that he did, and he created what was called the Big Red Button. So any action that he did, they would push the button, and the same action would be repeated. And Neil Young has just been great, and I've seen him on the message board many, many times. In fact, he has his own site. If anybody goes to coilcouplers.com, for many years, everyone speculated who it was. It was actually Neil Young.
Jeff was telling Matt and I earlier that his garage, you basically cannot park an automobile in his garage because of his private setup. I want you guys to maybe talk about some off-the-table high railer stuff. What's in your personal stash?
Well, ever since I was 6 years old, my dad set up a 4x8 table, and I ran two trains at one time. And since then, when I first had my first house, I set up a 10x14 layout. And over the last 15, 20 years, I've had layouts in my garage where I can run as many as sometimes 4 to 8 trains. In my own little world, I have a little amusement park there, all the old Lionel accessories. And I'd say my stash is probably about maybe 100 engines and about 300 different pieces of rolling stock.
Not to brag.
Yeah, I start out the same way. I got my first train set when I was 4 years old, and still have it, still runs. And I got back into the hobby maybe about a little over 20 years ago. My kids were really interested. They found my train set in my parents' closet, so I got them their own train sets. They've kind of grown out of the hobby, you know, but I stayed in, and I've just been picking up different pieces along the way. I try to collect only one or two roads, because if you try to collect everything, it gets too expensive. And so I've got about 70 locomotives and maybe probably about 300 pieces of rolling stock scattered around, so I can mix up some pretty good trains. A lot of times, though, when I come down, I'm pretty lazy, so I usually just keep a couple of things boxed up that'll be a convenient train to run rather than trying to piece together, quote-unquote, that perfect train. And on this layout, as you can see, we have multiple trains running. We could run like seven trains at once on this layout if we keep them small. If we get ridiculous, where you have like 60 car freight trains and 15 car passenger trains, then you're really only able to run one or two trains on here efficiently. So usually when I come down to the club, I keep it short.
Is with the holiday season upon us, if one of our listeners wants to buy kind of a starter train set for a loved one, what would you guys throw out there just to recommend if they want to build a small setup even in their home?
Well, this year, Lionel has done something that, to me, is, I think, just fantastic. Their exposure has been, they set up a pop-up store in Rockefeller Center, New York, where they're getting a tremendous amount of exposure. But not only that, they've gone to the big boxes, such as Walmart, Target, JCPenney, and set up starter sets there, with the idea just to get people to be exposed to the hobby. I think the CEO of Lionel, who is Jerry Calabrese, has done an absolutely magnificent job to get the pop back into Lionel. It's been Americana for over 100 years, and hopefully it'll hook a lot of young families, just the way Matt and I have been hooked over the years. Then they'll expand. They'll go to the local hobby stores, buy a little more track, a little more accessories. And quite frankly, it's nothing like I've ever experienced before in my life. And there's one article between Tom Snyder and Mandy Patinkin, and if you see it, you get goosebumps, or at least I get goosebumps, to just see how they're hooked. And that's the way we are. We're hooked.
It's something Matt and I were talking about. It's basically not everything can be a computer game, Xbox, PlayStation. It's kind of nice to have something that's tangible that kids and adults can come together and really enjoy.
Oh, exactly. In fact, we have a couple of family involvements here. For example, one member, his son is now, how old is Colton? Six? Yeah, I think.
Colton is now 6 years old.
Yeah, well, one of our members, his son's been here coming here since he was 2 years old. And when he was 4 years old, he was building trees on the layout. And he has his own layout at home. And you can learn a lot of skills by this hobby. Because to build a layout, you need carpentry, electrical, craft making. Sometimes photography helps.
And a lot of imagination.
A lot of imagination definitely pays off. And it's the kind of thing that a family can actually do. You don't have to be really, really skilled. I'm not a great model maker, but I've built some things. I've done some scenes. Like, for example, I did the farm scene over there, and that was the first scenic thing that I ever did in my life. And, I've built a couple of buildings on this layout. So it's a great hobby. You learn different skills. And, like I said, when you're through, you have something tangible.
I was also going to ask, kind of going forward, sort of if you look at the baby boom as, like, we were coming out of the Depression, model training had a big golden age. Do you think coming out of this sort of economic slump, kids are going to get out of, okay, it's going to be a video game, it's going to be a thing. Let's get back into something simpler. Let's get back into maybe model training and sort of these older kind of pastimes.
I think that what's going to happen after this economic slump is over, a lot of people are looking back at what they perceive as excesses that led us into that. And I think they're going to go back to things that are simpler, things that involve more family involvement and things like that. And I think trains are going to make a comeback. Now, last weekend, I think you guys were at Pershing Square. We had a very big turnout, and there was a lot of interest among the kids and some of their parents. In fact, one visitor to the layout, he has a daughter who's going into college, and he's hooked. And so his plan is when he gets the youngest one through college, he's going to start buying trains. I think that's much to his wife's dismay, but so it's definitely the kind of hobby that I think is going to rebound, because I think a lot of people are going to look back and say we want something a little simpler, maybe a little more wholesome or something like that, and I think the trains will be there. And as far as baby boomers go, one of the reasons I got back into O-gauge, because I had dabbled in HO and N-scale, O-gauge trains are larger, they're easier to see, they're easy to handle for kids, and some of the smaller scales, while they take up less space, are actually hard to handle and are a little more delicate and less tolerant. So I think that you're going to see a resurgence in O-scale trains and O-gauge trains, and if people want to build outdoors, you may see some of the garden variety trains as well, which is also a large growing segment of the hobby.
one of the interesting things, back in the 50s and 60s, everybody was tied down to a transformer to run the trains, and all the power would come from a transformer. With the advent of Neil Young's system and MTH's PS2 system, we are right now standing as far away from a transformer as possible because we both have remote controls. We are controlling our trains from as far as almost 100 feet away, and we're able to blow the whistle, slow it down, ring the bell, and do all kinds of things that both Lionel and MTH has developed. This is the new digital age, and for us, we run, here at the club, we run mostly the newer command control, but we also, I know at home, I run also the older type, and it brings back a lot of memories.
And again, Matt, I think it's important to remind listeners that you can see the PDF and you can see the layout of the Angels Gate High Railers facility on the website, so make sure you download that. And I honestly, Jeff and Matt, I really thank you so much. And just kind of in conclusion, if folks want to reach out to you guys and see what all of the amazing stuff you have to offer is all about, where can they do so? And I just wanted to say thank you so much.
Well, the best bet, because a website is kind of hard to give out on the radio, usually you just tell people to just Google Angels Gate High Railers, and something will pop up that will eventually lead them back here. The O-Gauge Forum, for example, I post quite a bit on the O-Gauge Railroading Forum, and the link is in my signature, so that'll get people back to the site and has directions to how to get here. We are here every Wednesday evening for our meetings. In fact, I think we'll even be here next Wednesday, even though it's 2 days before Christmas. And we're here just about every Saturday. And anytime we're here, we're open to the public. You know, they can just come right in and see us run trains. As you saw earlier, we have visitors sometimes bring trains of their own, and we'll run them on the layout.
We are basically transported back to our childhood here. And we welcome anyone who has an interest in any type of train to come down and see us, because we're just as happy and have just as much fun as they would. So come on down and have a lot of fun here in San Pedro.
Well, Jeff, Matt, again, for Pussyfoot for December 2009, we want to say thank you and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
Thank you very much, and thanks for coming by.